Welcome, everybody. So glad that you're with us for this podcast. We have been in a series as a church talking about the need for practices, because at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he ends with this story about these two guys, one guy who builds his house on a rock and one who builds his house on the sand. And the difference between them is not that they haven't both heard the teachings of Jesus, but they have, in fact, only one of them has put them into practice. And so we're talking about practices here and how we therefore integrate the teachings of Jesus into our lives. Mm. And we've been talking about the practice of worship. And for this particular podcast, I have invited my dear friend, John Egan, to join me and talk about the practice of worship and how it is formational and helps us integrate the teachings of Jesus and become more like him. So, John, you and I have known each other for a few decades.
At least 23 years. I've been here 23 years.
Yeah. So, and it's been so fun to grow up in ministry together. We're recording this at New Life Church, where we worked together for
many years.
10, 11 years. We've known each other for a long time, seen you and leading worship in so many different contexts. And so excited for you to kind of contribute to this. So
I know this is kind of obligatory to say, but I actually mean it, that this is such a joy. Because I love you, bro. Mill City Church, dear to my heart. Talking about worship, easy peasy. Are you kidding me? This is as simple as breathing, being with you, and talking about worship and talking about Jesus. Love it. Love the series you're in, what you're talking about with the practices of the Lord. And it is an amazing thing. I actually just reading up on some Barna stuff, which I don't normally do. I'm not really a statistician.
A Barna man.
Yeah, no one's really accused me of ever being a statistician. But how they're saying that 80% of Americans are actually saying they are Christian. 80, like high. 4% are practicing.
Yeah.
Four. So low. So the fact that you're in this time with your church is really, I think it's needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the goal. It's not just like, well, I adhere to some things, or I say I believe something, or I go to church, but actually my life reflects the fact that Jesus' teachings have like taken root.
We're in a culture of like, everything's words to identify. So really that's what I identify as Christian. It really is just, I believe in God or a higher power. But yeah, what are we practicing? What are we living?
Yeah.
It's needed.
And the fact is, we might say, well, of course I want to, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, don't worry.
Yeah.
Well, we can hear it and say, great, I won't worry. But then we
how's that
worry.
For
so
you?
There yeah. some practices, and I think Dallas Willard says it this way, practices work by indirection. Like you say, oh, I can't worry. Well, how do I get myself to not worry if that's what I'm supposed to not be doing? I want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So practices kind of subversively cultivate the space where we are able actually to
Brilliant.
Worry.
It's like the Matrix. We all think that, I need a program for not worrying. Like, hit me.
Exactly.
It just doesn't work that way.
So worship is similar. And all the practices are not the end. They are means to an end. So worship isn't just, do I have a good voice? Am I singing loud enough? Have I raised my hands?
Yeah.
Am I consistent?
Yeah.
But in fact, it is, I like to say it this way. I said this in one of our sermons. It's a portal to another world.
Golly.
You know, like it opens a door and brings us somewhere else. So maybe tell a little bit of your story, like, you've been leading worship, in worship, a worshiper for a long time. So talk a little bit about your story, and then we'll kind of dive in from there.
I've been here in Colorado Springs at New Life for 23 years, came on as a worship leader for the youth group, which I remember when that was offered to me, I was like, what kind of church has a worship leader just for the youth group? And I grew up in New Jersey. It's like the biggest church is 200 people, and you had three people on staff. So it's like it was such... It's such a cool thing to come to New Life and to see even the way that churches are more in the Midwest. And I was like, wow, look what all these believers and thousands of people. It was really cool. But I didn't know anything much about worship. I was a drummer, and then I started leading worship for the youth group here. But it was, I got into worship mainly not because I am a musician, but it's not the music. It's that it changed my life. Worship saved my life. I was a young high school kid, college kid, with a lot of paralyzing fear, a lot of paralyzing anxiety, moments of, and we didn't have terms for it. I mean, we had them, but we didn't use them like we use them now regularly, like a term like anxiety. Mm-hmm. But I remember just being caught up and paralyzed by this thing, and it was worship that Jesus met me. It was through songs. It was through being in worship services. It was through being in the corporate gathering that's much of my healing came from. So I was like, I want to do this. I want to live in this space. I want to lead in a way. I want to lead worship in a way that happens for others. Mm-hmm. That it does bring formation to our lives, into takes us from a false self into true self, you know, a disintegrated self into an integrated self with Christ. So I've been doing that for 23 years here. Our Desperation Band started here. Yeah. We were praying and fasting with young people. We did decades of this conference that we're still doing, been writing songs. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of songs have come out of this place around the world to help people learn about Jesus, help people encounter Jesus. And I am 45 years old now. It's been 23 years of me doing this full time, and it's still my greatest passion. It's still what I love, and I'm blown away to be able to do it.
I love it. And I love the fact that it's like, it's not just a, oh, that's a gig or a job or just something that I just enjoy playing a guitar or something, but there's something so much deeper that you've experienced that you just want to be able to facilitate for others.
I think we have a generation of, and worship, I love that it's musical. I love that it involves the instruments and involves greatness, or excellence, I should say. And that's biblical. But we have a generation of people who actually think, if I could just be a great musician, I think I could pull this off with worship. Mm. And I think we even have we have more churches being planted than kind of worship leaders being trained. And you end up, worship ends up kind of lowering to the least common denominator, which is basically sing great songs well, and we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And man, it's just so much thicker, so much more dense than that. Coming at worship as being someone who's transformed by it, I want to be a presence that helps transform others, and just be a help to set a table for people to do that. And that is being a musician, sure, being a singer, sure, but it's also being pastoral, a shepherd, a tour guide of sorts. Let's go here. I know how to teach you this because I've been there, you know. And
we can talk about that tour guide. I love that analogy or metaphor. Talk a little bit about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, so you're a mountain climber. You've summited more 14ers than most people, anyone I know. Sherpas, these guys who live on the mountain, guys and gals who live on the mountain, and they're acclimatized to the altitude, they know the terrain. And these guys all, say Everest, for example, they go out first. They go out in front of everybody, lay ladders, lay ropes. They know the path. And then Westerners pay $80,000. So think of that as like someone who's just, the Westerners, basically the climbers that go out, and they have a golden, they call it the golden highway up to the summit of Everest. It's very difficult, of course, but it's been laid out by people who know the terrain, who are accustomed to it. I mean, these guys go up, they go down, they go up. It's amazing. And worship leaders are meant to do that. They need to live on the mountain of God. They need to know the terrain, and then let's lay ropes for people to come along. We want people to summit with us, you know, but let's make it helpful for them. But you can't do that unless you know the mountain. You can't do that unless you spent time on the mountain, and know the little pitfalls, know the little areas. And so I think I try to encourage worship leaders to be students of it, students of the mountain, you know, and Sherpas of sorts to bring people forward. And I say, people aren't engaging. What do I do? I'm lost. No, you have tools for that. You know? So it's a pastoral thing, but you go out first. And it's way beyond, I haven't even mentioned music in that analogy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So good. Talk about, you know, you've been doing this for 20 plus years.
I've mastered it.
But like, there's an element of, you know, whether it's worship or prayer or reading your Bible, that at times can become dry or rote or just, here we go again. And that can be for a worship leader, or that can be somebody sitting in the seats. Talk about how you've kept it fresh or dry times.
And you know, you've heard, I think we've even talked about this book. James K.A. Smith has this amazing book called You Are What You Love, where he says, this is just so brilliant. He says, most people think that you discipline yourself to create a habit. So he says you take what you love and then create a habit around it. He's like, that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. Meaning your loves don't inform your habits is what he's saying. He's saying psychologists agree. This whole thing is that you discipline yourself to have a habit and that you'll end up loving it. And working out, you know, it's hard. You habit yourself, but we all know people who are obsessed with it. They're addicted to it. Didn't start that way. They created a habit every morning.
You and
do
I,
this.
Obviously.
Specimens of this point. They create the habit over time. It's hard. All of a sudden, my body's forming. My mind feels different. You end up loving it. And then you keep doing it. I understand things get rote. I understand things get dry. But it is such a, I've made the decision before I've started climbing the mountain. This is a habit for me. I'm going to live my life doing this. I'm going to do it every morning. I'm going to do it every night. I'm going to spend time with Jesus here. I'm going to live to my rule of life here. It is a habit, and that has proven to be true, James K.A. Smith's theory. It's proven to be true that I love it more. I think people get rote, and it gets dry when they're like, I love this.
I'm not feeling it.
And it's like, well, I'm trying to make this a habit, but I'm not loving it. It's like, oh, you flipped it. Make your decision. And then it's like Bonhoeffer talks about marriage. It's like, your love might lead to the covenant of marriage, but it's the covenant that actually leads to a deeper love. It's the same way with our relationship to Jesus. It's our habit. It's our practice. You're teaching it. It's our practice that leads to it not being rote, not being, or at least not having any respect for it feeling rote. Like, I don't bow down to that. Like, yeah, I'm human, so this feels a little dry. I mean, that doesn't define anything.
What I love about
anything.
That is you're like normalizing.
Yes.
You know, we are going to sometimes feel it and sometimes not.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's going to be a high moment or a really poignant moment.
Yeah.
I've had some significant moments in worship.
Right.
Tears.
Yeah.
Knee on my knees.
Yeah.
Like hearing from God, and other times. Not that.
Yeah.
But neither is somehow like, oh, well, it's not real if I'm not.
Yeah. We end up chasing emotion or chasing the encounter, which I kind of love chasing. I'm a worship. I mean, I'm unashamedly chasing spiritual explosions, man. When I lead worship at our church, I want it to matter. I want God to come. I want the roof to come off and we all go, what in the world is happening? I want all that. But at the end of the day, what I'm really chasing is the habit. What I'm really chasing is the obedience of doing it. And I think I have this kind of phrase I've lived with now for a while, that worship is a response to revelation, like, oh my goodness, that sunrise is, I'm viscerally responding. It is that. My eyes have seen the glory of the Lord, Isaiah 6. I'm ruined. I'm done. It's that. But I think we have a culture that stops there. It's like, that's all. That's what it is. It's a response based on a revelation. So where's the revelation? Oh, this church doesn't have the revelation. I'm out of here. Or, oh, this band doesn't have the revelation. I'm out of here. This song doesn't have the revelation. I'm out of here. The other side that's equally as important, if not more important on this side of heaven, is it's also a choice based on conviction. I make the choice to worship God because he's worthy. Make the choice because he's the king and I'm not. I've made the choice. I'm going to show up and do it, which is, that's what we see in the Psalms more than anything, especially like Asaph's Psalms. And he's written a dozen or so Psalms, and he's like, I feel nothing. I'm a mess. I'm depressed. He's a real human. I love his rawness. He was a drummer, Asaph. So he's a musician in the courts of the Lord. And his whole thing is, I will choose to remember the deeds. This is Psalm maybe 77. I choose to remember the deeds of the Lord, the miracles of long ago. He's working his way to remembering God. He's working his way to like, oh, he was faithful here. He was faithful. He was choosing his way in. And then his Psalms often end with, oh God, I will praise you. But they all start with like, this is a joke. I'm a joke. I feel nothing. I think that's a great template for us.
Yeah. You know? I like to say that worship is not about singing, but about seeing.
Yeah.
And you could, another way to say it is that worship's about seeing, but not feeling. Like, mm-hmm. feelings may be associated or may not.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I'm going to focus my eyes on God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he is
yeah.
who he says he is. He's holy. He's yeah. all these things. And I see that, mm-hmm. and therefore, rather Gosh. Than I feel those
yes.
things, and therefore I sing.
And sadly, it's like become such an entertainment industry, mm-hmm. right? An enterprise of selling the emotion of it. Oh, you'll feel this. We'll make sure you do. We make you feel it more than these guys and these guys. So come over here. We'll sell more albums mm-hmm. here. We'll sell. It's sadly become that. But I think I've learned, it's like, man, okay, Father, Son, and Spirit, they are adoring one another. Mm-hmm. It's already happening. The most epic worship is already mm-hmm. taking place before we record anything, before mm-hmm. we do our cool opening song, or then we take it deep. And it's like, it's so ordained and already happening. And then the Father, Son, and Spirit says, join this. Mm-hmm. You know, not I'm waiting for you to come up with something for me. Mm. It's already happening. Join yeah. this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, great. You're doing the heavy lifting mm-hmm. of worship. Mm. We just are invited to join it. That's the difference to me. It's like, we don't have to put this on ourselves to make happen. Mm-hmm. It's like, we just point to, hey, this is already happening. Let's join it. Mm-hmm. It's different. It's changed. That's changed me, you know.
Love that.
Yeah.
Talk about, I mean, I guess in relationship to what you just said, you know, it highlights the value of the local church.
Oh,
you know, like
yes.
plant yourself in a local church and just keep coming.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And worship leaders change, songs change,
yes.
you know, different things change around mm-hmm. you, but you just stay planted and maybe in over the course of years and years and years, maybe you have a few like emotional or really profound moments, mm-hmm. but the compounding effect
yes.
of like yes. coming to the same place over and over and over and over again. So like, will you speak to corporate worship
yeah.
and the consistency
yeah.
and, you know, things that you've seen, not just as a worship leader yourself, but as in congregants
mm-hmm.
and you know, people that are a part of the local church.
It's so easy to talk about with you, especially because I know that we share this conviction of church. Mm-hmm. It's Father, Son, and Spirit, a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, come and join this. Oh, community. It takes long obedience in the same direction. The Psalms of Ascent, that's what, 12, 13 Psalms of singing to God over like 40 years of journeying. It, mm-hmm. The slow burn of community. Psalm 95, the call to, it's like one of the most epic call to worship in the Psalms, and is Psalm 95, and there's many others, but come let us mm-hmm. worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. Not come let me, mm-hmm. you know. It is corporate. And then also in Ephesians and Colossians, let us sing songs, hymns, spiritual songs mm-hmm. to each other, mm-hmm. admonishing one another. Admonishing is like taking someone by the collar and like, listen to this,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's admonishing. Mm-hmm. The Bible says admonish one another. You can't do that alone. Who's admonishing you? Who are you admonishing? You have to do that in community. So that's why every single Sunday or whatever day that you do church, mostly Sunday, we gather with the people of God. Mm-hmm. The Lord loves many people. They need someone to sing to them, you know? And that's why I even tell our worship leaders, like, if you feel like they're not responding, sing to them, sing mm-hmm. over them, admonish them. Mm-hmm. The work of God is being done. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Don't be obsessed with, there's really nothing in the scriptures of like, oh, if they're not doing this, be mad, or if this and they're not doing this, it's not good. Or yes, there's biblical expressions of worship and we teach that stuff, but and we admonish those things, but it's the work of worship is being done, but we cannot do it alone. It is fully and always been, from the beginning of creation, God is putting us in family. He's mm-hmm. putting us together. In worship, it has come, let us, not me. We have to sing spiritual songs to each other. And I love devotional time in your car, and you're getting just blitzed mm-hmm. by the Lord, and it's wonderful. Spend one-on-one time with Jesus, but God's ultimate plan is to put us together.
Mm-hmm. Talk, you've mentioned the Psalms now a few times,
yeah.
Which of course is the biblical songbook.
Yeah,
talk talk about the Psalms. Yeah. What have they meant to you? How do you?
Yeah.
How would you encourage somebody to engage the Psalms?
Anyone who thinks that, like, oh, the Christian life is a bit naive to real life has not read the Psalms. Mm. I mean, it expresses things worse than things you've ever felt. Mm. The honesty, the rawness, it's the best. And the longest book in the Bible is a book of songs, mm. you know, it's 150 of these. And that's compelling. That's amazing. And I think in the Psalms alone, it's about 400 references to singing mm. to God. Mm-hmm. I believe 50 or so of those are actually commands. Mm. So it is just full of real and raw people who used songs mm-hmm. to be their guide to Jesus. And they're honest the whole time. And they're bold the whole time. As a songwriter, are you kidding me? It's like mm-hmm. My hope, so I mentioned the Psalms of Ascent. It's a great picture of the church. So there's 12, 13, I forget, the Psalms of Ascent marks the people moving to the temple, mm-hmm. moving to the mm-hmm. worship festival, moving to church. Mm-hmm. And they, for 40 years or more, like sang these songs. The same ones, by the way. So we're like, oh, it's getting a little old, this song. It's like,
well, Psalm 120.
Sorry, pal.
The first one, yeah.
You know, they've also been singing Holy, Holy, Holy for like eternity. You know?
Yeah.
You know, no one's asking for a different song. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. So for me, I want to join. There's 150 of these psalms. So I'm not trying to be so audacious like I could add, but it's like, well, I want to be a modern day psalmist. I want to help our church have the songs to ascend mm-hmm. to the Lord. It's like, that sounds like a great calling. Not to climb charts. I mean, if it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But it's like, what are the songs of our people? Mm-hmm. What are the songs of our church? The Psalms teach us, mm-hmm. write for your people to sing their way through, to calm their anxious fears, to remind them of the truth, to form who they are, who they know God to be. It's right there for us, the model. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beautiful. Yep. I mean, so rich. I like to encourage people to read the Psalms, like feel the Psalms, not just read them.
No kidding.
Like don't make it a mental thing. I'm like, yes, like that's okay too, mm-hmm. but don't do that only.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to read it like, okay, what is he saying and what does this world mean?
Right.
But like feel it. Like it's an expression of the heart in such a significant way.
It's a lifesaver, the Psalms.
Mm. Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said you're 45.
I am indeed.
You are getting old, John.
Yeah, I am indeed, and I am all about it.
It is good. It does feel good.
Yeah.
So you've been doing this for 20 plus years, mm-hmm. you know, like, so 45, what do you know now at 45?
Yeah.
And I know you got a long way to go.
Yeah.
But like, what do you know at 45 that you wish you knew at 25?
Yeah. Worship? Well, the first thing is like, I thought I knew a ton mm-hmm. 20 years ago. Now I know I didn't then and still don't now. It's like the mystery of God is so awesome because mm. it doesn't mean it's not unknowable. It just means it's endless in its understanding. It's so I love being a part of the mystery. I love being part of that divine kind of flow of that adventure with God. But I think early on, I felt so much pressure to, it's on me. Sing it well, sing it better than that. Write it better than that. Just our way of being in the world of judgment and like, well, this doesn't show me God. Ooh, that shows me God. That guy does. This girl does. The amount of performance pressure that we have added into worship is just, I just think Jesus is like, this is not my design, guys. At 45, when I turned 40, something shifted in me. Mm. Just the settledness that came into me, and to echo stuff we talked about earlier of worship is ordained. It's going to happen mm. out of the mouth of babes. And the rock, I mean, it's, yeah, but the rocks. I mean, geez, it's like worship is going to happen. If you can't handle it, the rocks will do it. You know, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I am not having to make anything happen. I get to just join something. That has made a big difference for me. That has changed me. Mm-hmm. So settling into that has made me a much stronger Beautiful. Worship leader. Mm-hmm. And shepherding people through that has made me a much better worship leader, a less judgmental worship leader toward myself, toward others, mm-hmm. toward a congregation, mm-hmm. toward if we travel somewhere, it's like, what's wrong with you? This, there's a lot of mean worship leaders out there. A lot of bossy ones, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no rush. We're in this together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would, that's what I know different now. And that's what I would encourage young worship leaders. Like, you're not joining an enterprise. You're not joining some sort of system. You're joining in with something that's gone on a lot longer than you've been alive and will last a lot longer after you go. So join it. Mm-hmm.
And what would you, like, the vast majority of people listening to this aren't worship leaders. So
yeah, yeah.
How would you flip that?
Yeah.
To the other side,
yeah.
as being somebody coming to worship mm-hmm. and being led
yeah.
in worship.
The vast majority of these people listening to this aren't worship leaders, but everyone listening to this is a worshiper. Everyone listening to this is born to worship Jesus, Father, Son, and Spirit, the image bearers. So it's like, it's already in you. Mm-hmm. It's already in your bones. It's in your DNA. My encouragement is don't let culture, inform what worship is. Mm-hmm. I love songs. I'm like obsessed with songs, but it's not songs. Mm-hmm. I love good music. I'm obsessed with it. I'm sad when the sound is bad. I'm sad / mad. So I fight for it, but it's uh-huh. not that, you know, come and join. And in a strange way, actually, like just thinking about this now, like even thinking about what I mentioned earlier with Colossians and Ephesians, like we sing songs to one another. Mm-hmm. I guess like 100% of the people listening to this actually are worship leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all meant to declare the glory of God. Psalm 96, we are meant to declare his salvation to the nations, mm-hmm. which I love that. It's like, so you don't have to be quiet. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be like, oh, it's humble. It's my own little thing. No, actually go big. If it ends up on Spotify, fine. If it ends up on this, fine. If it's in your church, which I think is where God is just so working, go big. Mm-hmm. Just proclaim his salvation. It's not about your voice. It's not about your talent. So, yeah, and that's me as a worship leader on stage in front of our church and up at Mel City or New Life. It's like, people of God, let me help you get started. Mm-hmm. But it's ours together now. Mm-hmm. It's not my song. I'm not a professional priest. We are the priesthood of believers, all of us. I want people to like, oh, I have a song to sing, you know? God has saved me. He's put a new song in my mouth, mm-hmm. Psalm 40. That's not for worship leaders. That's for all of us. Mm-hmm. Worship leaders, get out of the way for crying out loud. No professional priests. We're all in this together.
Mm-hmm. Ah, so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love that. Both the, like, we are all worshipers. Mm-hmm. But also like the, we are all worship leaders, which puts a little like, okay, like go out there and
yeah,
let's lead.
Decide.
Let's lead each other. Let's mm-hmm. sing to one another.
Yes.
We're both on the giving and receiving end of all of that. That's beautiful. Man, I love this conversation.
Yeah,
it's just so great
and
to
easy.
Be with you. And I would love for you just to take a moment, if you would, and
yep.
just pray.
Yep.
You know, my hope is, you know, it's already there. I love the relieving of pressure, mm. whether for a worship leader on a platform or relieving the pressure for somebody walking in like, I got to do this right or
That's
look
right,
right or
right.
whatever. It's already there. Just join mm. the chorus of heaven
mm-hmm.
and the chorus of creation
yeah.
that amplifies the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I love all of that.
Yeah.
And I hope that... I hope that even this short little conversation has stirred something in
Amen.
People. So will you just pray
yeah.
into that for us?
I would love to. Jesus, thank you so much that you are undoing performance and replacing it with your presence. Thank you, Jesus, that you're really patient with us. Thank you, Lord, that you are kind. Thank you, Lord, that we stumble our way through this nonstop, and you just, our songs are like little scribbles on paper and you put them on your fridge. You're just amazingly kind and so gracious with us. We thank you. And also, Lord, we pray that you would teach us how to climb this mountain of God. Lord, I pray for Mill City Church. I pray for New Life Church. I pray for local churches all over Colorado and around the world that we would habit our way, practice our way into loving you, into joining the song that you've been singing over us from the beginning. We're just singing it back. We're just echoing it back. restore our innocence in that and give us boldness to do that for our friends who someone's struggling. Let us sing a song over them. Let us sing a hymn over them. Let us sing it in our hearts. Let us sing it out loud. But God, we just want you to get the glory. We recognize your purposes on the earth, and we're just recognizing it more and more. We just want to join it. Help us to do it well in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John.
Dude, I love you, man.
You too.
Too fun.
Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.